that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God looked down from heaven to see if there was a just man who did not sin, and he never found one till he found the Lord Jesus Christ. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, because he was God in human form, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and then he went to the cross of Calvary. And there he received our wages. The wages of sin is death. He never sinned. Why did he die? Not because of his own sin, but he died because of sin. He died because of my sin. Did you ever stop to think of the presumption, the ignorance, the audacity of anybody who lives in this land of the Bible thinking that he or she can ever get into heaven in any other way than by faith in the shed blood of the Holy Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world? Yes, way before John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world," God had foreordained and foreknown that his Son, the Lord Jesus, would be his spotless Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and it is not possible that the blood of bulls or goats could take away sin, we're told in the book of Hebrews. And God says, "Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, ceased from man whose breath is in his nostril." My dear friend, remember that all of our righteousness is, in God's sight, are as filthy rags. There is no righteousness in the human soul, the natural man. There's only one place in the universe of God to find righteousness, and that is in Jesus Christ the righteous, and at the cross of Calvary, where the holy, sinless, omnipotent, eternal, omniscient Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, our message at this time is hope or without hope. Every adult in this world is either in the group who have a hope or those who have no hope. Undoubtedly, you have read 1 Thessalonians 4:18, where it says, let's begin at the 13th. "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not go before those who have fallen asleep. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now, how does that start off? "I would not have you Christians sorrow even as others which have no hope." Others which have no hope. My dear friend, if you're a Christian, the Apostle Paul was led to write in the first verse of Colossians that we have a hope laid up in heaven. We have a hope laid up in heaven. Well, why do we have a hope laid up in heaven? Well, read the first verse of Colossians with the first verse of Timothy. 1 Timothy, and you find that Paul wrote to Timothy that Christ Jesus is our hope. Well, where is Christ Jesus? Well, according to Colossians, he is raised, he is risen. According to Ephesians 1:19-23, God has raised him far above all principalities and powers and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. According to Ephesians 4:8-12, God has raised him far above all heavens. According to Hebrews 9:24, he has entered into the holy place. Heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for his saints, those who have been redeemed by God's grace and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Hebrews 9:12,
When he entered once into heaven, he entered by his own blood and thereby obtained eternal redemption for us. What glorious good news! Yes, Christ Jesus is our hope. Christ Jesus is in heaven, and so our hope is laid up in heaven. Now, in the second chapter of Ephesians, we learn something there of the past history of the Gentiles. Now, remember, in the Greek and in the Hebrews, the Gentiles, the same word is Gentiles, heathen, and nation. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was here? He said to the Gentile woman, it's not right to take the Jews' bread and give it to the Gentile. He called Israel the children. He called the Gentiles the dogs. But some years later, something had taken place. When that kingdom nation of God, that religious nation, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah and their Savior, as we read in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But even at that, when he went to the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. One of the greatest blunders that's ever made by any Christian or Bible student or Bible teacher is to say that Israel had been set aside when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. Certainly, Acts 5:29-32 must be cut out of their Bible. For there we read that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised up as the seed of the woman, raised up from Mary to be Israel's Savior. Then in Acts 5:31-32, following, it says, God raised him again. He raised him from the dead to be Israel's Prince and Savior. It was not until after Israel rejected Christ, both in incarnation and in resurrection, that the gospel of the grace of God went to the heathen. The greatest verse in all the Bible for the understanding of God's program and message for this age in which we live is Romans 11:11, where we read that the fall of Israel brought the gospel of grace to the Gentile. When Israel stumbled and fell, then God said to provoke them to jealousy, he raised up another apostle who called himself in Romans 11:13, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify, I glorify my office. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? As far as we have any record, the 12 apostles never preached the unsearchable riches of Christ either to Israel or the Gentiles. That was the peculiar message that the risen, glorified Christ gave to Paul by special revelation. So Paul speaks of the dispensation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God. And he tells the Gentiles in Ephesians 2:11-12 what they had been. He said, you've been aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And in Ephesians 4:18, you were alienated from the life of God. And in Ephesians 2:12, you were without God. That's the word from which we get the word atheist. Atheos. You know, some people think that you have to be a blaspheming individual who denies the existence of a supreme being to be an atheist. Many people are talking about believing in God. Well, the demons believe in God and tremble. I want to tell you, my dear friends, that Jesus Christ said, no man knoweth the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son shall make him known. And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, anyhow, we read there in Ephesians 2:12 that the Gentiles were without Christ, they were without God, they were without hope. And I want to say to you, you may be religious today, and I tell you, there's something very subtle today. There's a Christian veneer. When in this age of materialism, and people talk about religion, and they go out and that behave just like the sinners, and they go to church and they think church membership or some kind of ritual or some kind of a sacrament will do them some good, or joining the church or doing getting religion. But I want to say to you, my dear friend, it's still true that except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not born from above by being religious. There's a great difference between being moral and religious and being righteous and spiritual. You cannot be righteous and spiritual until you've been by faith to Calvary and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. By grace, through faith in Jesus, I am forever saved. Not that I'm religious or so very well behaved. The best I have by nature, God will not receive, but I have life eternal because in Christ I believe. By Christ my debt in full was paid when he was crucified. I have peace with God, peace Christ made when on the cross he died. I stand before the judge divine as though no sin I'd done. Christ had no sin but died for mine. God changed it, charged it to his son. And remember, we're told in the first chapter of Peter, we're begotten unto a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That's the only way you can pass out of the group having no hope to those who have a hope, because Christ Jesus is the only hope. And then Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable, but we have a hope laid up in heaven. And every Christian who is a well-rounded and well-founded Christian who's established in the Word of God knows that he's been turned to God to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus who delivered us from the wrath to come. We're not looking for death. Death may overtake us, but death is not the hope of the member of the body of Christ. The coming of the Lord, and he's coming someday, some hour, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not setting any dates. We do not know when he'll come. He may be 1,000 years. It may be not 1,000 hours or 1,000 moments. He may come at any time, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then I want to tell you, my dear friends, those that are hopeless, who are without hope, though they may be religious church members, they'll be left behind. Are you rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God? Do you have a hope laid up in heaven? Will you receive Christ as your Savior?